up with our message in a few minutes. But before we do, we have a special time between Pesach and Shavuot, the two Jewish holidays that fall in this time. And during those 50 days, we do what's called the counting of the Omer. So we had some Omer sheets. You may have gotten them that were in the foyer. I think we ran out already. We're going to have to make some more copies. But every day there's a special blessing that's said. And this is day four of the counting of the Omer. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing and say the blessings together. And then each of the 50 days, if you have your sheet or if you got a sheet, there is something specific to pray for. So we're going to be praying for what's specifically here in day four, which I'll get to in a minute. But let's do our blessings together. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav, vitzivanu, al sifarat ha'omer. And then the English. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by his commandments and commanded us concerning the count of the Omer. So we do this count for 50 days, and day four, as I said, there's something specific. And actually, each week there's a theme, each week of 7 days. The theme for this first week that we're in is a theme for us to be praying for thriving congregations for Yeshua in Jewish communities around the world. Now, that includes our community here in the Savannah Hilton Head area. So we're going to be praying today, or this week, for thriving congregations for Yeshua throughout the world in Jewish communities where we're a light to our Jewish people about the light of the world, about Yeshua, the Messiah. And day four, this is today's specific Omer prayer. Pray for centers of outreach in Jewish communities that are founded on prayer and scripture. You know, Karen Orr, we're founded here on prayer and scripture. We're founded on the Word of God. We're founded on the Lord Himself, the Rock of Yeshua. So that's what our prayer needs to be, is that we would be an outreach center in this community for Yeshua. So please be praying for that this week and today. I'm just going to open us up in a word of prayer as we get started with our message today. Lord, I just pray that you would anoint my lips to speak only your words, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord God, that you would get me out of the way and just you would talk about what you want to talk about today, that you would speak what you want to speak today, Lord God, that you would convict, that you would change hearts, and that you would go where you need to go, Lord God, with this message. We lift it up to you in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen and amen. Well, let me just say, it is a workout to be able to do praise and worship and then preach. Not only on my body, but on my voice. So please pray for me. My voice holds up. But before I get to all of this special Shabbat that we have, and there's a lot of special things we're going to be doing, the first special thing is, you know, we had our Seder, our second annual congregational Seder this past Monday night. How many of you were there? It was a fantastic Seder, right? You enjoyed it? Praise the Lord. I was blessed. I know you were blessed. I feel like the Lord showed up. I feel like it was powerful, and I feel like he really spoke to all of us here. We had a lot of people from the community. You know, we've only been around for just under 3 years here, and we're still getting out our name to the community. And, you know, it's taking time. It's really word of mouth, and it's not much more than that. So be sharing with people about your experience at the Seder. Be sharing with people about this congregation that you found. Be sharing with Jewish friends and family members and non-Jewish people that you know in the community, because we want to continue to grow so that we can continue to get that message out more and more about Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, here in this area. And today we're going through the holiday Pesach, Passover. And we're in every day of this holiday. There is a special reading. You know how we go through the Torah portions every week? Well, every day during Pesach and the holidays, there's special readings. So today is appropriately titled Pesach 5, because it's the fifth day. And we're going to be reading from this text today rather than our normal portion in Leviticus, because this Shabbat falls on a holiday. So we're going to be suspending our Leviticus talk until we'll take it up again next week. But the portion today, Exodus 33:12 to 34:26, and Numbers 29:28-19 to 25, the Haftarah portions, which are the portions of the prophets section of the Bible that go along with the particular Torah portion, Ezekiel 37:1 through 14, and the book of Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. Now, today, there's so much to talk about, and I was thinking to myself and praying, Lord, what do I speak about? Because I could speak about Pesach, I could speak about a lot of things concerning the Haftarah portion, I could speak about whatever, because it's not a normal Torah portion that we're going through. There's actually two portions here, and one in Exodus and one in Numbers. Now, the verses in Numbers, if you go home and you read it, the verses in Numbers talk directly about Pesach. They talk about the holiday. And I chose not to speak about Pesach today. Now, why did I choose that? Because we've been talking about it. We've been leading up to it. We had our Seder and we talked all about it. I want to speak about something specific today, which is the portion in Exodus, or one of the portions in Exodus. Now, the end of that portion, which is Exodus, when it gets to Exodus 34, that gets into the second set of tablets that Moses and the Lord make, that the Lord makes for Moses. Because remember what happened with the first set of tablets? The people of Israel rebelled. They created the golden calf. They were wanting to worship something else besides the Lord because Moses went up the mountain. So they were punished. The first set of tablets was broken. And then Moses went back up. He got the second set of tablets containing the Ten Commandments. So that's the portion. That's the end part of the portion there. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the first section of the portion. The text today we're going to be looking at, if you get your Bibles out, you get your tablets out, whatever you have with your phones, whatever you have your Bible on, we're going to be going through the text of Exodus 33:12 through 23. I'm going to do something different today that I don't normally do, because I don't normally talk about a lot of scripture as far as reading a lot of scripture. But today we have a portion that's, 12 verses long. I want to start off today by reading all 12 verses. There is something powerful about reading scripture aloud. Have you heard that? There's something powerful about praying aloud rather than praying silently. God hears your prayers whether you pray in your mind or whether you pray aloud. But there is something powerful when you pray out, when you speak the prayers. Okay, because God spoke the world into existence by what? The Word of God, which is Yeshua, the pre-incarnate Yeshua. The Word made flesh, John chapter 1, and going back to Genesis 1. So there's something powerful about speaking because God spoke. Okay, but I'm going to read and speak out these Torah portion verses because there's something powerful about that. And a lot of people say, well, you're reading 12 verses. We don't have a lot of time for that. You're wasting time on reading the scripture. Listen, it's important to read scripture, and it's important to read it aloud. So turn with me to Exodus 33. We're going to take the time today, and we're going to go through, because this is a powerful portion here that I want to speak about today. I'm going to read the entirety of Exodus 33, 12 through 23 today. Moses says to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then when I take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now that is an awesome passage of scripture, wouldn't you say? That's powerful. Exodus 33, 12 through 23. That's what I want to speak about today. That's what I want to talk about. There's some things I want to point out in the text that are really, really important. And I started, you know, praying and meditating on this and saying, Lord, what do you want me to speak about? And what I got was there's three, what I will call today, what we can call, there's three show me's, quote unquote show me's. God and Moses having this dialogue today. They're having this prayer today. And there's three show me's that Moses brings before the Lord. Three times he says, show me. Three different things. Exodus 33, 12 and 13. Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. Now Moses had a special, special relationship with the Lord. We can say that, we know that, we read that. When many of us talk to the Lord, we have this kind of exchange. Lord, I'm coming before you again. I need this. I need this. Please show me this. Oh, by the way, I need this, and could you do this for me? Amen. Right? That's pretty much our prayers many, many times. Pretty much we're going to God and we're saying, okay, here's the genie. I'm going to rub the genie to get my wishes, right? I'm going to go to the Lord, and you could really have good intentions. You might be saying, I'm going to go before the Lord because I have all these problems. I need to take him before the Lord. I need to ask him to help. I need him to resolve this for me, blah, 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 blah. And that's fine. We can go to the Lord with that. But that's really not the essence of prayer. That's really not the essence of what we're supposed to get out of prayer. It's a piece of it. It's not all of it. But unfortunately, we get in this rut. You know, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm here again. I got a lot of problems today. So just sit back, buckle up, because I'm going to just relay all my issues to you, and then I'm going to ask for you to fix everything for me. Now, we have a quote on our website, and it's a really, it's a powerful quote. It's not from the Bible. It's from Oswald Chambers, who wrote the most widely read devotional in the world called My Utmost for His Highest. And if you don't read Oswald Chambers, you should read Oswald Chambers. It's really, really good stuff. And he is a no-nonsense man of God that lived about a century ago. And he just really preached the word. And Oswald Chambers said, the point of prayer is not to get answers from God, but to have perfect and complete oneness with him. And listen, of course the point of prayer is to go to God and petition before the Lord. But when you start bringing things to the Lord, and have you noticed this in your prayer life? When you come before the Lord and you're praying for things, he starts speaking to you, but it's not maybe in an audible voice, and it's not speaking exactly what you ask him to speak, like he's a parrot to repeat it. He starts speaking to you, and you start listening. And as you pray more, and you have that develop that relationship with him more, he starts revealing things to you and starts sharing things to you. And then you start praying the things that he's telling you back, and you get in that sync with the Lord. This is how Moses was with God. This is how we need to be about prayer. This whole thing, prayer is to have perfect and complete oneness with him. This changes everything about our concept of prayer. If you look at your most meaningful relationships in life, they are not one-sided, are they? If they were one-sided, they wouldn't last very long. Who's going to want to listen to you all the time and not be able to talk? Have you ever met somebody? Have you ever been friends with somebody that all they did was talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and you can't get a word in? You try speaking, and then they want to talk more. You ever met somebody like that? Maybe you're like that. I don't know. If you're like that, you need to listen. The Lord is speaking to you today. But listen, it's okay to talk, but we also have to listen. It's a two-way street. It's okay to talk to God, but you also got to listen to God. You don't just do all the talking. The relationships that you probably have in your life of the most meaningful type I'm talking about, your spouse, your kids, whatever, they are probably very deep relationships, very emotional relationships, very connected relationships. And that's the same way Moses was with God. He had those deep connections with the Lord. They talked, they spent time together. But we can see the progression today of Moses and these three show me's that I want to talk about. The first step is the first show me that we have here. In order to live a life for God, we need God to show me your ways. We need God to show him, to show us his ways. So the first show me is, Lord, show me your ways. This is what he says in Exodus 33, 12 and 13. God, show me your ways. I need to know your ways. I need to know you. Okay? Now, this is the first step, like I said. And in order to have that life for God, we got to start with that step. Show me your ways. And that's what he wants. And listen to Moses in this text today. He says something really interesting here. He says, you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Why do you think Moses says that? I think Moses has got some issues. I think we all have some issues, but I think Moses has some issues. Now remember, Moses had some issues there where he had a hard time having confidence. Remember? He had a hard time with his speech. Remember that? And I think he had a hard time with thinking that he was the guy. Well, we know that, right? Because in the early part of Exodus, when God first speaks to Moses, he says, Moses, go. I want you to go be my representative for the people before Pharaoh. He says, well, God, can you choose somebody else? And I really don't want to go. And I can't do this. And he's kind of saying here the same thing. You haven't told me who you're going to send with me. Like, I'm not good enough to go myself. I don't believe in myself enough. I don't think I've got what it takes. Who's the magical person you're going to send with me? I mean, I can go. I can drag their hand there. I could probably find my way back to the palace. I lived there for 40 years. I could probably find my way back, but, you know, I can't speak very well. I'm really not good at this kind of thing. But you know what? He was really not believing in himself. But he was saying, show me your ways. So he asked the Lord, send me somebody. Show me somebody that can go with me. And what does God say in Exodus 33, 14? If you want to turn there, this is what the Lord says to him. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So God didn't give Moses what Moses wanted. This is the point here. You don't just pray and then God says, okay, since you asked me, I'm going to bring you so-and-so. No. God says, my presence will be with you. Meaning, I'm going to be with you. You don't need anybody else. You don't need to go find some eloquent speaker. You don't need that. My presence will be with you, and I will give you rest. His first step in the journey was to ask God, show me your way, show me what to do, and God responded. But you know, you got to listen when God responds. Because you can get stuck in that trap of saying, God, show me your ways. And by the way, I want you to do it this way, and this way. And you know what? God doesn't do that. And then we're still saying, show me your ways. You didn't speak to me, God. Why didn't you speak to me? He spoke to you, just weren't listening. You weren't hearing because you weren't praying correctly. You were just praying, show me, show me, show me, give me, give me, give me. You weren't listening to the answer that he was giving. The first step in our journey with the Lord is to ask God, show me your ways. And he will. And he's saying to each of us today, listen, you don't need an Aaron. You don't need a whoever. You think you got a speech problem. You think you got a confidence problem. You think you got a experience problem. Whatever. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. That's what we need to know today. Lord, show me your ways. And he's going to fill you up and show you his ways. That's the first show me. The second show me we see in the text is, show me your favor. Show me your favor. Now, favor is another way of saying grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is the favor God gives on you when you don't deserve it. Grace is the favor God gives on me when I don't deserve it. That's grace. That's favor. And Moses is saying, God, okay, you showed me your ways now. Oh boy. Show me your favor. You know, sometimes when God shows us his ways, it can be rather scary because he didn't probably answer you the way that you wanted him to. You had this plan of how things were going to go with you and the Lord. And then he responds, and it's like, oh, I didn't think about that. And then you start getting nervous because I don't know if I can do that. Because I was ready to do what I said for you, God. But now you're telling me something else. Oh, boy, that's a little scary. So now Moses is probably feeling that. And he's probably saying, show me your favor. Show me your grace. You can't earn grace. You can't do anything to get more grace. Grace is bestowed upon you and I and Moses from God and God himself. God alone. So Moses was saying, show me. Show me, Lord, your favor. Exodus 33, verses 16 and 17. For how shall it be known that if I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Now, what more do you need in life but to know God by name and have his favor? I don't care if you can't speak. I don't care if you don't have an education. I don't care if you look a certain way or you were born a certain nation or whatever. It doesn't matter. If you have the presence of the Lord with you, if you have the favor of the Lord with you, there's nothing you can't do because it's God doing it through you. You understand? So Moses said, show me your ways, and God revealed himself. And Moses listened, and Moses maybe got a little nervous. That's okay. It's normal. But then he said, oh boy, I see where this is going. Lord, show me your favor. Be with me. Show me your grace. I need grace in my life. You know, if you didn't have the Lord's grace, you could not do what he's asking you to do. Moses knew it. He was smart enough to know it. He didn't find favor because he did something. He found favor because he said, God, show me. Okay? You cannot find favor by doing something. You can find favor by saying, God, show me. Show me your ways. Show me your favor. Here's the thing. It's one thing to say, show me your ways. And many people read the Bible, can quote the Bible, can mock the Bible, can do all these things about the Bible, and knowledge is great. Okay, so when you say, show me your ways, and you memorize portions of Scripture, and then you can debate Scripture at seminaries or universities or whatever, yeah, that's great. Knowledge is great. But that's not really what we're talking about. We're not talking about show me your ways as in give me all that knowledge. Yes, knowledge is part of it, but you've got to apply that knowledge. And you've got to seek the favor of the Lord because you've got to get powered up. Your power of, you can read this scripture, you can memorize all this and go quoting it to people and go debating people about it. But if you don't have the power of God, if you don't have the favor of God with you, you're going to lose steam. You may not lose steam the first day. You may not lose steam the first month or the first year. But there's going to be a point in your life if you go on your own way and just say, well, I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to read this. I'm going to do it. You're going to lose steam. You know, there's the study of the science of the Bible, the science of applying the Bible, and it's called hermeneutics, right? And with hermeneutics, you study all the different interpretations of what man says the Bible means and all this stuff, and there's a bazillion interpretations out there. And a lot of them center on, I mean, there's crazy stuff, like, well, it's all allegorical, or, you know, the interpretation of the Bible is whatever I see it as. Or because I'm a woman, so to speak, God's speaking to me because he's a woman. Or whatever. There's all this crazy interpretation of the Bible. But you know what the right hermeneutical approach to is? What does the text say? What does the author say? Because the author is God, by the way. And what is he telling us? It's not about us putting into the scripture what we think. It's about us taking out what he says and what he thinks. And you know, it's great to read the words, but you got to apply it and you got to ask the Lord to empower you because it's his words, it's his ways. You're his if you're following him. All you have to do is just walk. Moses just had to walk and God spoke for him. God spoke these things. God poured into Moses. And Moses was said to be the most humble man. You can't be poured into if you're not humble, if you're not willing to listen, if you're not willing to do what God says. And I know that's hard sometimes, and that's scary sometimes. But you got to be willing to empty yourself so that God can download into you. Show me your ways. Show me your favor. And here's the last thing. Moses said, show me your ways. He said, show me your favor. But here's the third show me. And this is really important. Show me your glory. Okay. Exodus 33, 18 and 19. Moses said, please show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And the text then goes into this awesome scene between how the Lord passes by Moses. You know, and he just can't see God. It's just too powerful. And he passes by, and Moses just like catches the wind of it, you know, and is just changed by it. And that's just so awesome here. And Moses, God covers Moses' face as he passes by. And the key here is, God, show me your glory. You can understand his ways. You can get the favor of the Lord. But you need the glory of the Lord. You need him to show you his glory. Do you know what the greatest heist, the greatest theft that has ever been perpetrated by man is? And that is when man stole God's glory for him. This is when we stole God's glory away from him. We wanted to be like God. We wanted some of that glory for ourselves. Glory, that glory is fun to have. We didn't want to share. We didn't want God to just have all that glory. We wanted him to share some with us. We wanted to take some of that glory. You know, that was really the sin of Lucifer. He wanted some of that glory. But you know, if you just read, if you Google the word glory, if you go to a concordance or whatever and look at the word glory, how many times in the scripture and what it says about glory, you'll know that God doesn't share his glory with anybody. Okay, oh, you could say, well, that's so selfish of God. Listen, he created us. He can be the way he can be. And he says something here in this end of the scripture I want us to just understand. Because this is what we got to get in our heads about God. It doesn't matter what you think about God. I don't care what you think about God. I don't care what I think about God. Because you know what? It doesn't matter what I think. It only matters what he is. He created us, and we are but dust. And when he says things like, I'm going to be gracious to whom I'm gracious, I'm going to show mercy whom I show mercy, the world looks at that and says, see, he's such a mean God. But you know what? We need to look at it and say, he is sovereign. We cannot begin to understand what the Creator is. All we can do is say, show me your glory. But when you start stealing that glory from him or trying to take that glory from him, that's where the trouble starts. But this world is all about taking glory for themselves, isn't it? We don't need God. Look at the world today. It's all about getting recognition. It's all about getting fame. It's all about getting fortune. It's all about getting ahead. You know, we in this culture, just in the American culture, we worship movie stars. We worship musical artists. And what are they? Getting the glory for themselves. That's what they're all about. It's not sharing the glory. But read what the Lord says in Isaiah 48:11. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 11. And listen, there's so many scriptures that talk about this, but I just picked one for us to go through today. Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Listen, he's not going to give you some of his glory, and that's okay. We should be saying, I don't want your glory. Show me your glory. Don't give me some of that glory. You're not going to know what to do with the glory if you get it. You know what? This world has gotten some glory, and it's messed it up. That's basically the story of the world. We got too much glory, and we messed it up. We can't handle the glory, you know? God is the only one, and his glory he will not give to another. And once we get that, we put God in the rightful place that he is, and we put ourselves in the rightful place that we need to be, which is far below God. Okay, so Moses is saying, God, show me your glory. What he's really saying is, I don't want the glory to myself for myself. I don't want this people to look at me and say, ooh, look at Moses, our leader. Ooh, I don't want Pharaoh to say and the Egyptians say, ooh, look at that Moses. Because Moses, you know, he could have said, you know what? I'm going to get even with Egypt now. I had to run away from that Pharaoh because I killed the Egyptian because they wouldn't listen to me. Well, I'm going to get even with them now. That could have been Moses' get even. give me some glory because I'm going to go get even. No, he doesn't say that. He says, it's not about me. Show me your glory. Because Moses knew that God can't share his glory with another. Show me your ways. Show me your favor and show me your glory. You know, Moses got it. And there was many times in his life he didn't get it. There was many times when David and other people in the scriptures did not get it. And there's many times when you and I don't get it. But you know what? Moses, it clicked for Moses. And we see in this passage, he wanted to know God's ways. He wanted the favor of God on him, and he wanted the glory of God to be shown. The three show me's. You know, many of us stop at this first step. Most believers stop at the show me your ways step. Some of them don't even get there. But many people stop at the show me your ways step. Yeah, we want to know God, but that's about as far as it goes. We're not willing to surrender to him. We're not willing to ask him to help. We're not willing to let him in, to allow him to show us his favor. Many of you are fighting God today. Many of us are fighting God in the body because we don't want to see what God is saying. We want to kind of do it our way. You know, it's terrible when you have a heart to follow God, to do God's things, but you don't listen to God and do it his way. You go out there and you do it your way for the Lord. That's why we have a lot of ministries out there that are not kosher, I'll say. All right? You know a few ministries probably that are not kosher. And you could tell they're not kosher. Why? They don't line up with Scripture, or they don't say the things that the Lord says, or they pick and choose verses, or they hermeneutically destroy the text, or something like that. Listen, let's be like Moses. Show me your ways. Show me your favor, because I need it, and show me your glory. That should be our cry today. It was good enough for Moses, and you know what God did with Moses? Can you imagine how difficult it is to take a few million people, bring them out of slavery, and wander them through the wilderness for 40 years? Let's try that for a little while. It's not going to work for you. You're going to get tired. You're going to get upset. You're going to want to strike some rocks, probably. You're going to want to go and, you know, Moses, you gotta think of his character. When the people were complaining and grumbling, what did he do? He would go before the Lord and say, God, don't destroy them. Don't destroy. They don't know what they're doing. He could have easily said, all right, let's smite them because you told me you're going to start over with me. And man, when there's all this Moses descendants around, it's going to be really good now because they just messed it up. No, he didn't say that. He said, Lord, please save these people. But why did he say it? So that God's name would not be profaned. Because, you know, he was thinking about God and not himself. He wasn't thinking about his circumstances. He was thinking about what it would say to all the nations around if miraculously God brings them out and then all of a sudden he smites them, right? Okay, here's good news for you today. Because you and I are like the children of Israel. He's brought us and delivered us. And what do? We go around grumbling in the wilderness. But thank God he's not going to smite you and I. Because he could. Okay? But there's precedent in the Bible that says he's not going to smite us. But let's not provoke him, okay? Don't provoke the Lord today. What I'm saying is, Moses said, Lord, don't destroy them, don't smite them, because your name will be profaned. Because he's worried about God. Are we worried about God's glory today when we're out there living our lives? Are you worried about the way God is going to be represented by your life? I need to be more worried about how God is going to be represented when things are going on in my life. And I'm telling you, the best time to do it is when things are not going right in your life. Can you still bring glory to God? When things are not lining up just like you thought they would line up. You had this master plan, or maybe God showed you something, and then things are just not working out. And you're like, what's going on? What did I do wrong? You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure Moses said that a few times. What did I do wrong? Because this isn't working out like we thought. All they do is grumble to me. But you know what? No matter what's going on, good or bad in your life, show me your ways, show me your favor, show me your glory. You keep saying those three things, you can't go wrong. What can the world do to you? What you have to worry about is, are you representing the Lord right? Are you showing the world his glory? Are you showing the world him? Today, we need to show the world God's glory, not ours. Let's pray. Lord, show us your glory. Show us who you are, Lord. Lord, we stumble so much, just like the children of Israel. We mess up. We forget. We go back to the basics all the time. But Lord, you're waiting for us today to cry out to you with our hearts, to say, show me your ways, Lord. Show me your favor. And show me your glory. The Lord, you love it when we come to you. When we say, we can't do it ourselves. When we say, we don't want to share your glory. We want you to have it all. Lord, show us your glory today. We put you on the throne where you belong, Lord God. We allow you to do your work in our lives. We allow you to do your work in our congregation. And Lord, we allow you to do your work in this community. And Lord, show us your ways. Show us your favor and show us your glory today. And reveal, Lord God, your words, your ways. No matter if no one stands against, no one stands with us, and everyone's against us, it doesn't matter. We have you with us. So refine us today, Lord God. Shape us today. Mold us today. But Lord, show us your glory. We love you, Lord God, and we praise you. We give you all the glory today. And we thank you. In the name of Messiah, Yeshua, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Baruch atah Adonai, notain ha-Torah. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together as we recite the Eleinu. Amen. You can all be seated. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings now. We have several ways to give. You can give with an offering envelope, and we have envelopes in front of you. We should have envelopes in front of you. Also, you can give online at shalomsavannah.com. And is it /give? Okay, /give. I never remember what the /// or the /// is, so it's /, so... But anyway, also for our first-time visitors, we have connection cards, if you would be so kind as to fill one of them out. We had a lot of visitors for our Seder, and we had a lot of people fill out connection cards, which was really great. So we're going to be connecting with them soon, but it was really special to see. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and just thank Him for these offerings. Lord, we come before You with our sacrifices financially. We lift them up to You. We thank You, Lord, for everything You're doing in this area, and we just take them up for Your glory, for Your purposes, so that the word can go out through this area that Yeshua is the Messiah. We thank You and praise You in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. We just have a few little things to say. First of all, I hope you all are enjoying your Passover and your matzah. just so that you know, Passover ends Monday night. So we always get a pizza Monday night after sundown. That's what we'll be doing. Yes, we had a wonderful Seder, and we hope that you all did as well. And I just want to thank a few people. I wasn't here the Sunday that we had to set up. So to those of you that helped set up on that Sunday and clean also, a big, big thank you, because we would not have been ready for Monday without you. Monday, Barbara Spencer came early and helped get all the Seder plate things ready. And I want to give a special thank you to Lila and Ellie and Ruth, my daughters, because they came with me at 1:30 and we hand rolled and cooked and made matzo balls and the matzo ball soup, which took us all afternoon. That, and then getting together the tables. And also a special thank you to Lila, who made all of the wonderful cheesecakes that we had for our dessert. So. And then also thank you to Kim Blomsness and Dory Jones, who stayed after and helped clean up and put this place back together how it is. And then we had some guys that helped you, Chuck and Bobby. Bobby and you. No Chuck. Sorry, Chuck. Chuck's out of town. He gets a pass. And the only other announcement that we have for today is we are in the middle of the Omer season, and we're all out of our prayer lists for the counting of the Omer out on the foyer. If you're on our mailing list, if you go back and look at our April newsletter, there is a link that you can download and print out for yourself the Omer prayer list. If you are not tech savvy or not on our emailing list, come see me and let me know, and I'll make sure I bring you one of those prayer sheets next week. The only other thing we have is that coming up the beginning of June, we will be having our Micnic, so we're looking forward to that. But in between then and now, time to rest, everyone.
Thank you very much. And since it's Pesach, we are not going to have the traditional hamotzi, so to speak. We will do the hamotzi, but we have out there in the oneg room, just so you know, we will have matzah along with our normal nosh, our normal cold cuts and different things, but we will not have any leavened bread. So let's just all stand together. We're going to say the blessing for the wine, and then we'll say the blessing for the matzah, even though we'll say hamotzi. So for our kiddush, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the matzah from the earth. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom.